Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Check in the Inbox, where we answer questions about body positivity, sibling introductions, and more. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is episode 205. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you doing? I haven't seen you forever. Give me all the updates.
All right. Okay. So my check-in this week is a little dramatic.
What?
Yeah, drama.
Oh, I'm buckling in for this one. Okay. Click, click.
So drama on both fronts. The drama with the baby, my now 15-month-old Sebastian, is a little less dramatic. He went and got his 15-month shots this week.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, he actually did pretty well with them. I think he was okay. You know, he cried just a little when he first got them, and it was three jabs, which mm-hmm. is a lot. And one of them was DTaP, the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, right? That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
For adults, it's TDAP. For us, for the babies, it's DTaP. And, you know, that one hurts. If you've had one.
Oh, yeah. That's intramuscular, right? That one goes deep.
Yeah. Yeah. So poor little baby. He was a little upset when it first happened, but he was fine by the time we left. And he's doing great otherwise, like hitting all his milestones and just like a total cutie patootie. But the mm-hmm. next day I noticed he actually had like a pretty bad reaction on his leg, like a local reaction to his shots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his legs, his thighs were all red and like warm and raised, and they had like big lumps underneath them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is all normal. Like, this is all like a possible side effect of the shots. But Augie never had any side effects to any of his shots. So it was kind of a surprise. And, you know, at first a little worrying, but I actually sent a picture to my friend Carrie, who is the pharmacist who specializes in immunizations. I was like, is this normal?
Right.
And she's like, yeah, totally normal, totally fine. Like, it should start getting better soon. And I was like, it doesn't bother him. It's just bothering me. So, but yeah, that was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And for the rest of the week, like, he had a lump. It was getting smaller and smaller, but like, he got a real knot under those shots. So,
well, what is it? Do you know what the knot was? Just like fluid collected there? Or what was the explanation?
You know, honestly, I don't know. It might be inflammation. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
I didn't look too much into it other than knowing it was normal because, you know, the minute you try to look into something, a child needs you and then you forget and
oh,
you
yes,
move
of course.
On. But the good news is by the end of the week, it was gone and he
oh,
was
good.
Fine. So, and he never like had any other reactions. So that was good. And, you know, I'd rather him have a little bit of irritation on his leg for a week than get tetanus.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or diphtheria.
Or whooping cough or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's pertussis. Yeah. It's awful. So that was the baby drama. The toddler drama, the three-year-old drama, was kind of a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll set the scene. We went to Kid Space Museum again. This is like our new favorite thing, right?
Okay.
Go to this kids museum that's like mostly outdoors and it's in Pasadena. It's about a 10-minute drive from us. It's wonderful. Augie spontaneously announced that it's better than Disneyland the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. And it makes me like, oh, I'm so glad we spent all that money on that trip to Disneyland. But he loves it. Loves it, loves it, loves it. It's impossible to drag him away. Like these days, what we have to do is like when it's Sebastian's nap time, like one of us will drive home with the baby to like put him down for his nap so Augie can like stay at Kid Space and then we'll like come back.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's commitment. All right.
Getting him out of there is hard. So I was there with Corey and the boys, and Sebastian had already like gone to take his nap and come back. And so we were there. It was getting, you know, later in the afternoon. Augie was still just being wild and loving it and having so much fun. And they have these like seasonal themes, and this season is butterfly season, right? So everything's like butterfly themed.
Aww.
And in this first area, when you first like walk into the museum, there's this big sort of like concrete area with these little water features, and they had a station where you could pick up like butterfly wings to wear, like these really pretty like silky butterfly wings that you put on your back, kind of like a backpack, and they attach to your hands, you know, and there's kids everywhere running around pretending to be butterflies, and it was very cute. And Augie wanted to do that. So I was like, great, yeah, go get yourself a butterfly wing. And Sebastian was just walking around. They have these little like in-floor fountains that kind of like spurt water up so you could, the kids can like run through them. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen those.
So Sebastian was running through that, and Augie was like right there being a butterfly. And Corey was like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. Is it okay? Should I take one of the kids, or are you okay with both of them? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine with both of them. They're having fun. No problem, right? Mm-hmm. So Corey goes off to the bathroom. 2 seconds later, Augie runs up to me. He's like, I'm done with being a butterfly. And I'm like, okay, sweetie, can you walk over to the man over there and give him your butterfly wings back? He's like, okay. And I'm like walking around following Sebastian, who's like trying to get onto everything, right? Like you have to keep a really close eye on him. And I did look at my phone. I feel a little guilty about this, but I actually was like answering a Slack message from you or Steve about something like podcast related. And so I was like trying to multitask. I was following the kid, trying to answer this question. I was like, everyone's contained and taken care of. It's fine. And then like a minute passes and I was like, where's Augie? You know, I was just standing there waiting for him to come back. And then I was like, oh, fuck. And like, I did have that moment where like, I wasn't remembering that I was in charge of him, you know, like all day I had been on Sebastian, you know, and Corey had been on Augie, and it was like the division of responsibility. Like I had just like completely forgotten that I was kind of responsible for both of them just for like 20 seconds, right? Like not very long,
no.
But I look up and I'm like, fuck, he's nowhere.
Oh my God.
So I'm not panicked because it's a completely like enclosed place, right? It's got a lot of kids around, a lot of parents around. I don't think that like he's run off to his death somewhere or like run into traffic or anything. But I am like, where the hell is he? This place is big, right? Like it's on a hill and I'm trying to like drag the baby. So I like pick up the baby and I start calling his name, which like I had just seen a TikTok about how this is exactly what you're not supposed to do when you lose a kid. Like, apparently what you're supposed to do is instead of like calling their name, you start saying like, I'm missing a boy. He's 3 years old. He's wearing a shirt with whales on it and he has brown hair. And like, you're supposed to start yelling description.
Okay.
I knew this and I had like noted it and practiced it in my head. What did I do? Augie. Because I was embarrassed, right? I was like super embarrassed that I had let him out of my sight. So a staff member was like, have you lost your kid? And I was like, yeah, he was just here. And then I was like, oh, he's probably in the gift shop.
Like, oh, really?
Like, I suddenly realized that he had discovered the gift shop on that particular visit. Like, he hadn't known it was there until this trip. And now he was like, that's all he wanted to do was go to the damn gift shop.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, oh, he's probably at the gift shop. And he's like, well, hold on. I have a walkie-talkie. And if you give me the description of your son, I will put it out to everyone, and anyone with a walkie-talkie will be immediately looking for him. I was like, okay, great. I was like, oh, you know what? I actually have a picture of him I took like less than 2 minutes ago. Here it is, you know, because I was taking a picture of him and his butterfly wings.
Right.
And so he's like, okay, we've got a kid. He's 3 years old. His name is Augie. He has brown hair. He's in a whale shirt and whale swim trunks and, you know, like all this stuff, right?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, can we start walking to the gift shop? Because I'm sure he's there. And he's like, well, let me get this out. And I'm like trying to inch towards the gift shop. And then we get a like, I think he's in the gift shop.
Oh, my God. You're like, no kidding.
Yeah. I'm like, I could have found him 3 minutes earlier. So, of course, like, oh, and it was very sweet. That staff member bolted. Like, I couldn't walk very fast because I had Sebastian with me. Right. I couldn't run. And also, like, I wasn't actually that worried, you know, because I knew, like, I knew he was not in imminent danger, but I wanted to get to him, obviously. I was a little bit nervous, but I couldn't run. But this guy, he took off on, like, a sprint. He was like, I'm on it! And he, like, sprinted to the gift shop. And he was sitting there looking at toys, and I walk up to him, I'm like, Augie, you walked away from mommy. That really, really scared me. I thought I had lost you. He's like, can I buy this robot?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, I don't think buying the robot is the lesson right now.
Yeah, no.
So this is my check-in. The first time I've lost my child, it happened this week.
I'm glad it wasn't thoroughly terrifying. Like, you were nervous, but not panicked and worried about him just completely disappearing or, yeah, getting in danger or injured or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern was that there is this creek in the back. And, like, the absolute worst case scenario would be that he ran straight back to the creek, somehow face planted in it, you know, it's not deep enough for swimming. Somehow face planted and passed out in it. And none of the like 50 adults that were like watching their kids did anything about it, you know, like.
Yeah, unlikely.
Even to my very well trained anxious mind, like even that seemed very far fetched. I was like, he's in the gift shop.
Looking at toys. That's so Auggie.
Yeah. But anyway, that feels like a rite of passage in a way. I don't know.
I think so.
Have you ever lost one of your girls?
No, knock on wood. I haven't.
Yeah, knock on wood.
I do get nervous about it when we go to places like Underwood Farm. It's like a big spread out farm area, especially during busy times like the fall festival and stuff. I'm like, I slap a paper bracelet on them with my phone number.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, that fun zone or whatever it was called, that big, huge bounce house castle we went to. There were so many people and I was like, oh my God, Cece's definitely getting lost in here. And I like found a paper bracelet and put my phone number on it and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're not really thinking about that, you know, it's like it's so easy for these little kids to just wander off and have some superhero save the day. You know that that employee was like, oh my God, I saved a kid today. Like he's telling all his friends about his heroics. That's so cute.
And I have to hand it to Kidspace. They really were on top of it. Like he was clearly very well trained in how to find a missing kid. And they like had a protocol in place.
Yeah.
Probably not the first time that it happened that day. So.
Right.
Yeah, so I feel like I once heard from someone that like Disneyland is the safest place in the world to lose a child because like
really?
There's cameras everywhere and the staff is completely trained to find lost kids.
Oh, that's good.
But that would make me more nervous. Disneyland is huge and crowded. But anyway, that was my fun anxiety for the week.
Whew, well, I'm glad everything is okay. And that roller coaster ride is over for the week.
Mm-hmm.
We can all take a deep breath.
We can. Let's take a deep breath and hear what your week was like. No lost children. We verified that. So that's good.
No lost children. Nope.
Already better than my week. Okay. Tell me more.
A little drama, but more along the lines of, oh, maybe a Gossip Girl or 90210 style drama.
Ooh, I like. Mm-hmm. I'm an Andrea Zuckerman.
Yes, I can totally see that. I probably am too, if I'm being honest. There's no way I was as cool or like badass as any of the other girls on that show. So I'll wear my Andrea badge with pride.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other day I was walking Cece into preschool and I was like, oh, you can have a good day today? She's like, yeah. And out of nowhere she goes, I'm excited to see my boyfriend.
What?
And I was like, come again? I'm like, what? She goes, I'm excited to see my boyfriend.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
Your boyfriend? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, who's your boyfriend? And she's like, Marco.
Oh.
Marco's not his real name, but we'll call him Marco. Marco. I was like, oh, Marco's your boyfriend, huh? She's like, yeah, he really loves me.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, my God, that is so cute. And also, where did you get this? Like, we are not the family that teases our kids about having girlfriends, boyfriends. You know, we're just not those kind of people. Like, I don't even think Elle has ever mentioned like having a boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Some parents or grandparents are like, oh, do you have any boyfriends? You know, to little kids because they think it's funny or whatever. But I'm like, I don't think anyone has ever done that to her. So where is she getting this? And I was just cracking up inside and like, that's so cute. Because I do know that there is one particular little boy that just really loves her there. Like he hugs her all the time. And when I come to pick her up, he's like, oh, I love Cece. I want her to come to my house for a play date.
Oh,
she loves him too. She gives him hugs and it's just so cute. And so I'm like, okay. And I walk in and I tell her teachers, I'm like, apparently Cece has a boyfriend. It's Mark. Like I'm just spreading gossip immediately all around the preschool.
Hot gossip.
They're just like, oh, okay. We'll have to keep an eye on that. And I'm like, oh yeah, maybe you should. Because he's a little bit older than her. So, but anyway, I was just like, that's really cute and adorable.
Yeah. Have I told you about how like more than one person has come up to me in the parking lot at our preschool being like, is that Auggie? I've heard so much about Auggie. I don't even think my daughter's in his class. And I just keep hearing Auggie this and Auggie that.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, is he like the little heartthrob of his preschool. And I hate thinking like that because I hate all the like sexualization of little kids and stuff. But like, I feel like there were little girls who have little girl, you know, toddler crushes on him. Like, yeah. What parent comes up and is like, oh, that's Augie. He's the talk of our house.
He really knows his ABCs. I mean, yeah, like what else would it be about, right? Our kids are well loved at their preschools by their peers, apparently.
It's very sweet.
Aww, it is really sweet. It's really heartwarming. Here, I'll show you a couple pictures that I got sent of Cece and her boyfriend.
Oh, look at these little sweethearts. Oh, they're holding hands. Stop.
On the playground at school. Isn't that so sweet?
Oh my goodness. What cutie pies. They look so happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you and Steve met really young, so.
True. And Cece is not the kind of kid to dole out affection. Like, if you're like, can I have a hug? And she doesn't want to, she will just be like, no. Like, can I have a kiss? No. Can I have a high five? No. And every time I've seen Marco ask her for a hug goodbye or something, she's like, yeah, and like just gives him the biggest hug. And it's just like so cute and also good. I'm glad there's consent, right? Like, that's very good. Even though they're 3 and 4 years old, like, that's good.
So great. I mean, I love that we're teaching these things to our kids, like that we were never allowed to learn, you know, like, oh, it's okay to say no to a hug. You're like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. She definitely takes that and runs with it. That's for sure. So yeah, that's my gossipy check-in for the week. Shall we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face. I've also been using the Eye Topical Supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Hello, we are back, and this week's special segment is Check in the Inbox, where we get to answer all the questions you, our listeners, have sent in so we can catch you up on all the stuff that's been going on with us and the burning questions you've had for us. So we should just dive right in.
Okay.
Shauna, there's a question that's actually for both of us. We're like diving in headfirst with this question.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And it's from someone named Robin, and she asks, what are you most proud of as a mom? I'm going to guess Robin is from across the pond.
Yeah. Mom. Let's see. Holy cow. That's a great question. Okay, look, I am really proud of how much I love the shit out of those little kids. Like,
no.
I knew I would love my kids, and I had a feeling I would be a good mom, but I feel like it's just more than I even imagine. Like, mm-hmm. I just have so much love for them and care, and it really comes through, I think, in the way that I talk to them and treat them. Every single day I tell them, you know, how much I love them, that I'll always love them, that they're wonderful people. I hope I'm doing a good job instilling, like, confidence in them. Like, you mm-hmm. know, that they have a sense of security, that they have love from their parents. And I'm really proud of that. And I'm really proud that I've worked really hard over the years to follow some of the parenting philosophies that I find really important, you know, like treating them with respect, even mm-hmm. when they were little babies, and really allowing all of their feelings, no matter how big, how negative, whatever, letting them express themselves. And it hasn't always been easy, right? Like, it's challenging to parent at all, and yeah. also to parent in that way where you kind of just sit and accept big feelings and stuff. So I guess those couple things I'm really proud of as a mom.
As you should be.
Thank you. Thank you. What about you? You've had a little more time to think about it than me because I was rambling there for 2 minutes. So you're up.
Sure, but you had 3 more years to figure it out than I did.
Ah, true.
You know, I think, you know, everything you said is very much what comes to mind for me, too. But more specifically, so far, I feel like one thing I'm really proud of is that I've been able to teach Augie specifically, but hopefully Sebastian's getting it, too. It's just he can't really express it yet. But trying to teach Augie that, you know, I am a safe space for him. And mm-hmm. no matter how he's feeling, he can tell me, you know, like that there's no right or wrong answer if I ask him how he's doing, and that you know, if he isn't unhappy, he can tell me without any guilt or repercussions or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's really, really hard. And it's not how I was raised necessarily. So I feel like it's something I've had to work really hard on. And like the other day, we were getting out of the car and I can't remember exactly what it was, but like something was bothering him. And I was like, oh, Augie, it looks like you're sad. And he goes, I'm not sad. I'm annoyed.
Wow. Very specific.
So specific. And it was something that I was doing that was making him annoyed. I think I had said something like, you can't have a toy or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, he has really big feelings these days. And you know, he was sort of moping about it. He does this real hangdog thing now. It's like almost cartoony the way he mopes around when he's angry. And I was like, oh, Augie, it looks like that really, really made you sad when I told you you couldn't have the toy. I'm not sad. I'm annoyed.
Oh, my gosh.
Other than being super cute, I was just like, wow, like he feels OK telling me that. He can articulate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knows that that's an OK thing. Like that definitely made me feel like I was doing something right. So, yeah,
absolutely. And it's so good for them to be able to recognize and articulate and express those feelings, mm-hmm. because I think it helps them move through the feelings faster, process them, get them out and move yeah. on. It helps me to talk about stuff and, yeah. you know, tell others how I'm really feeling as opposed to feeling scared to tell a parent how you're feeling because you feel ashamed of it or whatever. And then it kind of mm-hmm. gets stuck inside and repressed or whatever. So, yeah, I think that that is wonderful that he's able to do that. And good for you for fostering that.
Thank you. So, yeah, that's my final answer.
All right. Here is the next question. This is from Danielle. Laura, how did you get pregnant while still nursing? My period hasn't returned yet, 1 year postpartum.
Well, Danielle, one thing that helped was my period had returned. And I think that was partially because I wasn't nursing like around the clock. You hear things anecdotally that like when babies sleep more than 6 hours, that helps your period return. I mean, everyone is different, right? Like there's no like one size fits all answer to this because some people, their period comes back like 6 weeks postpartum and some people it takes till you stop breastfeeding altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a thing you definitely should talk to your OB about, especially if you are like me and on the older side. You don't want to like sit around and wait and just hope that it'll come back because, you know, there is such a thing as secondary infertility, which is when you had like no problem getting pregnant the first time. And then the second time you're like, why is this taking so long? Why isn't this working? And you don't want to mess around with that, especially when you're a nice old geriatric like me. But even if you're not, it's always helpful to go to your doctor and be like, you know, we're starting to think about baby number two. I really don't want to wean. Like, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, honestly, a lactation consultant could even help you with that. That's the type of thing like a midwife or a lactation consultant might even know more than a doctor. Like a lot of people will go to their OBs. And trust me, like I'm a person who fully believes in like the medical, you know, profession. My parents are doctors. Like,
right.
I love going to MDs, but I also think there's a lot of wisdom to be had, like amongst the other professionals, like midwives, RNs, lactation consultants, because they have a lot of one-on-one interactions with people who are trying to conceive and who've had lots of babies. And, you know, they get to spend a little more time with you than your average OB. So reach out for help and see if maybe, you know, night weaning, if you haven't night weaned, might help. And the other thing is, you know, start tracking your symptoms, checking your cervical mucus, all that stuff. I know, like the not fun stuff that no one really likes doing. Or maybe, you know what, I take that back. I'm sure there are people out there who really enjoy doing that stuff. But for most people, it's like a chore. But that mm-hmm. stuff, like getting in touch with your body, understanding how, you know, you might be getting ready to cycle. There's a lot of people who never get their period back because they like end up getting pregnant on their first ovulatory cycle after breastfeeding.
Oh, right. Yeah, true.
So, yeah. So definitely just tap into your body, reach out to professionals. And some people do have to wean to get their fertility back, but most people don't, as far as I know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, definitely consult the experts on that one.
All right. Good answer.
All right. So I have a question for you, Shauna. It's from Heather. Mm-hmm. Heather asks, how do you teach your child about body positivity, how to ignore beauty standards and comments made about her body?
Ooh, that is such a good question. And something that has been on my mind, like, since the moment I had a baby, basically. Because one of my intentions in being a mom was to make sure that my kids grew up with body positivity, not hating parts of their body, you know, trying to have like inner strength to be able to deflect other people's comments, etc. And especially when I had two girls, then I was just like, ooh, now I really want to strengthen that, right? Because in the society, that stuff is all a little bit trickier for girls. I'm sure it's on your mind too with boys though, right?
It is, but the pressure is clearly, it's different. You know, like I'm 100% on board with that, as you know, like, and I really try to walk the walk of body positivity and I like don't make comments on bodies and all that stuff, right? But, you know, it's not as like intense, I guess, with boys. You know, they absolutely can suffer from all the same issues that girls can. But we all know that the messages that boys are getting in society are not as negative and not as intense as the messages girls get from like day one. And it's so obvious, even just like with babies, you know, like the shit people comment about baby girls, like, oh, she's so cute, you know, all that stuff, all her little bow and all that stuff. Oh, and then with my boys, you know, no one ever comments on their clothes. Like, no one ever comments on their clothes. And they're fucking cute clothes. So there. But anyway, that's a digression. But yes, it's absolutely on my mind. But the pressure is not nearly as intense as it would be for you, I think.
Yeah. So I thought about this question and wrote down the things that I realize I've been doing for the last 6 years with my girls. And I just would like to tell you about some of them in case they're helpful for anybody.
Yes, I'm sure they will be.
Well, first of all, I've supplied my girls' little library with lots of body positive books. One of my favorites I've spoken about on the show before is Bodies Are Cool by Tyler Fetter. Really celebrates all different body types and abilities. It's wonderful. Read it with the girls a lot. We have several other like just body inclusive books that talk specifically about celebrating your body. And I'll be sure to put those in the show notes because I don't have them all in front of me right now. And then books like It's Not the Stork, which are about like how babies are made and, you know, different body parts and stuff. Like I just put that on their shelf like as young as possible. I think we got that when Elle was like two, and really trying to be open about, you know, just accepting your body for what it is and who you are. Because one thing I grew up with was just like pure embarrassment about my body and my body parts. And like, oh, I felt like just weird about it. Didn't want to talk about any of it. None of it. And talk about something I'm proud of as a parent. Like my girls have none of that, at least now. Like they run around naked constantly, you know, like we've talked about. Really open and confident about their bodies. And that's one thing I do also to help foster body positivity is just let them run around the house naked if they want to and try not to shame them for it. Another thing I do is talk about their body parts by their anatomical names. So they've learned that their vulva is their vulva and, you know, that there's different parts to the vulva, the vagina, the clitoris, the et cetera. And they love their vulvas. I mean, they're going to listen to this episode when they're teenagers and hate me for saying this, but
just such cringe. Oh, my God.
They do. Like, they just really, like, have so much confidence about it. And if they have a problem with their vulva, they're just like, Mom, I have a problem with my vulva, right? You know? So it's, like, accepting even, like, their private parts, accepting their body shape and stuff. I never, ever, I try my hardest not to ever criticize my own body in front of them ever, you know, even small things like, you know, my fingernails kind of suck, whatever, you know, I just won't say that in front of them because I don't want them thinking, oh, maybe my fingernails suck too or whatever. So, and never talking about other people's bodies, positive or negative, never talking about dieting, you know, just all stuff like that. So not putting any kind of ideas in their mind that it's expected to be a certain body type, body shape, you know, weight, etc. And I find the less I talk about any of this stuff, the less I think about it. I
mean, absolutely.
I, Yeah. Ever since I had kids, I kind of put like concerns about my own body kind of on the back burner, and just more radical acceptance than I ever had about myself. Mm-hmm. And it's been a relief to just stop talking about it, stop thinking about it, and just focus on other things. And I hope I can give that to my girls, too. Mm-hmm. I remember a time when I was, I want to say 11. I was in sixth grade, maybe 12. And I went to the doctor with my mom for a checkup. And the doctor was like, oh, you're 90 pounds or maybe 99. I don't know, 90 pounds. And he's like, what do you think about that? And I'm like, And he's like, like, you know, brought it up as a concern and said to my mom, like, she's 90 pounds. And my mom looked at me and she's like, I don't know. What do you think about that, Shauna? I'm like, I don't know. I'd literally never thought about my weight. I was athletic growing up. You know, I did not care an iota about that stuff. But that one comment, that one time stuck with me and suddenly was like, oh, there's something wrong with my body. There's something bad about being a certain number. And then it sticks with you for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so annoying. And I want them to be more resilient. It didn't crush me or anything. You know, I had a lot of resilience too, because my mom was great with this kind of stuff. And I want to give that to my girls too, so that they aren't crushed by comments that, you know, can seem so shocking and weird.
Yes, 100%. I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I hope so. The other day, Elle came home with a little picture thing she had worked on at school. I don't know. They made a car out of construction paper. And then the teacher like had taken a picture of the of Elle smiling. And I guess Elle like glued it onto this car as if she were the driver of the car. And this big smile, like a little scrunch nose smile. It was so cute. I was like, this is so cute. And she was like, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, why? What do you mean? She's like, Alex in my class said that was a weird smile and that I've got a weird smile.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, Alex, fuck you. You know, I'm like raging inside. Like, and so those are the moments when you can really address with your kids, like how to handle comments like that. I'm like, I don't know the right answer. But to me, I was like, I don't like that he says that. Those things to you. That's not appropriate. If you don't like what he says, tell him to stop.
Yeah.
And walk away from him. Tell him that that might be something he thinks, but that you don't think that, you know, and walk away. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I hope that, you know, my girls can deflect that kind of commentary, because it sucks. It affected her and made her sad.
And then you found Alex's home address and stalked him at night and threatened him to stop making comments about your girl.
I may or may not have put on a scream mask, stood outside his window and rapped on the glass at 2 a.m. Alex, leave her alone. Just kidding. Kids, man. Kids.
Kids.
Kids, kids, kids. But yeah, so those are my thoughts on it. And I would love to hear our listeners' thoughts on it, too, and what you all do to, you know, combat all of that type of stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Laura, here's the next question. This is from Kiara. Any tips for introducing a baby brother to their toddler sibling? She's due today and baby number one is at 1.5 years old. Oh, and Aaron also asks, tips for introducing my toddler, who's 2 years and 4 months, to his new baby brother.
All right, so I'll take this one since I've done it more recently. So I've talked about this on the show before, but my number one advice is to get the book Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings, and skip to the last part of the book. For whatever reason, they put this at the end, but there is a chapter on like what to do when you're still pregnant, and there's a chapter on like how to introduce a baby to like a young toddler. Or like a young sibling. And that book's really, really great for like a toddler and baby dynamic. I also really like Siblings Without Rivalry, but it's much better for like verbal kids who are older when the kids start like interacting and having actual conflicts. But Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings has really, really great tips for what to do. But, you know, the main ones that we did was, you know, one of them was we got a present for Augie from Sebastian. Like, you know, we showed up and we're like, the baby got you a present. He's so excited that you're his big brother. And of course, that went over like very well. That was great. And also gives the older child something to play with when you're busy with the baby. And then my other like thing that had never really occurred to me, but has been so game changing, is to try to remember to not blame the baby for like not being able to do things with a toddler, because you're trying to like foster a loving relationship with them, right? And if you're constantly like, I can't play with you right now because I'm nursing. Oh, I can't play with you right now because the baby needs me. Or I'm sorry, you have to go on a walk with daddy because I just had the baby and I'm still sore. All of that stuff is putting the blame on the baby. And of course, that's going to lead to resentment, right? Because like, mommy now can't do all these things with me because of the baby. So I never wanted to blame anything on the baby. If it was anything, he'd be like, I need to nurse right now. I'll be there in a second. Like always giving him like, I will be with you once I'm done. And like trying to make sure that I was with Augie as much as possible, like trying to hand the baby off to like focus on Augie for some time. That was really good. And then one other thing that I found was really, really helpful was telling the baby that he has to wait when the toddler needs something. You know, because you're always like, no, Augie, I can't do that right now. I'm with the baby. No, you know, there's constantly, no, I can't do that right now. And occasionally you'll find yourself like the baby will have woken up from a nap and, you know, a nap in the bassinet in the living room or whatever, right? So like the baby wakes up and is crying a little bit, or the baby's a little hungry and you're getting, you know, you're finishing up playing with the toddler. Tell the baby, okay, baby, or in my case, okay, Sebastian, I can tell that you really, really are hungry and need mama. I'm just finishing up with Augie and then I'll be with you in a second, okay? And obviously it's not for the baby, right? The baby is pre-verbal, like whatever. It's for the toddler, but the toddler hearing that they are being prioritized is huge. Like they love hearing that. And it's, you know, it's just trying to balance the books there. So those are my like quick fire pieces of advice. But Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings has a lot of like really good, like big picture things and a lot of really good, like concrete, here's what you need to do like on this exact day. So yeah, go get that book.
Awesome.
And congratulations.
Yeah.
To both of you. Yeah. All right. So here is another question. This is from Rebecca, who seems to be a little bit further down the line, but she says, I have an almost 3-year-old and a 2-month-old. When does it get easier?
Oh, girl, it does get easier. Let me just start off with that. It really does. First of all, once your little one is sleeping through the night, you know, it may be around 5 months old, that makes it much easier because then theoretically you're sleeping better too. And it's always easier to manage things when you've got more sleep. When the baby turns one, around one is more tough, you know, and able to play with the older kid, I felt that was a lot easier. Because one of my anxieties was when the baby, Cece, was little and Elle was so big and was just trying to play with her and was so rough. And I was terrified that the baby was going to get hurt. But as soon as Cece was old enough to kind of fight back, hold her own, rough and tumble, play, I was way less anxious. And the girls had more fun playing together. You know, they could play toys together and stuff. And then after that, honestly, it's just gotten easier ever since. Like, because they get more independent and can do things more on their own. And you don't have to intervene as much and do as much. So hang in there. You got this. This is absolutely the hardest time. In my opinion, anyway, that first year when the second baby is under one is really tough, but you got it and it will get easier.
That's reassuring for me to hear as well. I mean, I've seen it, like they are playing together now. So like I definitely see how it's getting easier. But, you know, he's just 15 months, so it's just starting. OK, so it's reassuring to know that it does get easier. I needed to hear that as much as Rebecca did. But for now, actually, what I think we need is to take a quick break before we come back and finish the rest of our questions. What do you think?
Yes, let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, Therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and we have a few more questions from listeners that we're going to tackle. Laura, this one is for you. It's from Lindsay. She says, I've restarted listening to the podcast from the beginning. In the fourth episode, Laura is talking about taking 3 months maternity leave, and I'm like, wait, are you going on 3 years now? Do you still have some smaller freelance jobs? Just curious about my pals. LOL. That's from Lindsay. So good question, Laura. The last anyone knew, you were taking a, what, 3 month maternity leave? So where does that stand?
Well, yeah. So for the most part, I'm not working. I take very, very occasional gigs. The way it worked was initially I was like, I'll do 3 months. And then I was like, this shit is hard. I'll do 6 months. And then Corey had a more like regular job at the time. He had an overall deal with a network, which meant that he was getting like a regular paycheck. And it didn't feel as pressing for me to like go back to work right away. So then I was like, I'll do it at a year. And then when Augie was a year old, I started getting like part-time nanny help. And I was going to start like easing my way back into the workforce. And that was January 2020. And then there was this little global pandemic that happened, which made childcare like scary. You know, there were a lot of people who obviously needed to continue with their childcare through the pandemic. And like I totally get. But because we didn't have to, we chose not to. And if you remember those early days, we didn't know anything about any of it. And we also knew we wanted to like have another baby soon. So I was pregnant and I was going to be, or, you know, I hadn't gotten pregnant yet at that point, but I was hoping to be. And I knew that I would be high risk. And so we just chose to like totally
shut it down and not look for childcare, which obviously meant that I couldn't really do much work-wise. So, yeah. So in that interim, I have taken on a handful of like little web development things, like helping friends fix up their websites. I made one like sort of not brand new, but like I revamped someone else's website, I want to say like 6 months ago, and it took me for fucking ever. And thankfully,
oh, no.
I mean, it really did. I felt so awful about it because I normally I really pride myself on hitting deadlines, and I was just like not able to hit our goals as I had hoped. But luckily she was like very understanding and very happy with the result. So that was good. But I was working during every nap time after the kids went to bed. Like, it was just too much. Like, I was just way overwhelmed. So I told Corey, like, I can't spend every waking moment squeezing in work. You know, it's just like, unless we are, you know, in such dire financial need, like, I just can't do it. And he gets that because, like, I had zero downtime, like zero. The minute.
Right.
Sebastian would go to sleep, I'd like rush off to get like as much work done as possible. And it's tough. It was much more difficult than I anticipated. So I'm trying not to take on projects if I can avoid it. I have taken on a few writing projects. I actually had a few pieces published in Parents Magazine, the print version, which all of a sudden was discontinued in April. Did you hear about this? Yeah, so I wrote this huge, like, I mean, it was huge for me. Like, it was a cover story. It was, like, a big feature. And it was originally supposed to be, like, for the March issue of Parents, March 2022. And then it got pushed to April because the editors wanted to do all this stuff. And, like, right after, like, the day or two after it had been like approved and sent to print, my editor, who was also a friend of mine, like emailed me and she's like, so this is weird to say, but they're closing down the print version of Parents Magazine. I'm out of a job. I'm not sure what's going to happen to your piece, but I'm reassured that you will get paid for it.
OMG. Hopefully they'll at least publish it online, right?
Well, thankfully, they actually did. Like, the very last print issue was the April issue, and I got my, like, cover story on it. It was about detoxing your digital life, or not detoxing, like, how to maintain sanity in your digital life as a parent.
So it was out,
but it was crazy, and it, like, that took for fucking ever. Like, that absorbed my life when I was assigned it, because it required a lot of reporting and a lot of, like, quotes from people, and so it's just too hard. That plus the podcast. It's just like too much. So I either need more childcare to take on more freelance jobs, or I just need to like not take on freelance jobs. And right now I'm opting to not take them on because, you know, they're only small once and I'm trying to enjoy this time.
Right. Well, good.
Yeah. Sorry. That was supposed to be a short answer. But no, the 3 months maternity leave did not happen.
Right.
All right. So anyway, moving on, we actually have a work-related question from Aaron. It's actually for you. The question is, how is Steve's commute going? I just started a long commute and it's rough. Tips?
So yeah, Steve was supposed to go back into the office. He's been working remotely since the pandemic and they wanted them to go back in May. And then there was a COVID outbreak at the office. like literally 3 days before he was supposed to go back. And so they're like, nope, scrap that. Everyone, let's go back in June. So that got postponed. He has not started his commute yet. Although we did get ourselves all set up with a new car because we were a one car family for a really long time. So we got a new car in anticipation of him like having a commute and stuff. So we're all set. It hasn't started yet. But as someone who has done a lot of long commuting to jobs, my number one tip is listen to fun stuff on the drive. You've got to find your favorite podcasts and just binge them because that makes it way more fun.
What would you say about like missing your kids? Like the fact that you're in your car for a long time and you're missing out on like family time?
Ooh, that's a tough one. If possible, if you can work with your supervisors to maybe shift your hours to not go during rush hour, that could potentially help. I'm hoping Steve can do a little bit of that because his drive during rush hour, honestly, is going to be like an hour and a half, probably. But if he can miss that window, it'd probably be more like 40 minutes. So,
yeah.
That's probably the biggest thing, or try if you can at all to have any flexibility in your schedule. Because when it comes down to it, commuting just sucks. It just sucks to spend so much time in the car, on the road, not with your family, if that's where you would rather be. And, you know, I really feel for people who have to commute and miss out on family time.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough. But I hope it goes well for you, Erin. And yeah, just listen to our podcast again, like Lindsay.
Yeah, we'll always be there for you. All right, one last question. I think this one is for both of us, Laura. From Julia. Julia says, what would you do if your kids started dating each other in the far future?
Well, first of all, my condolences to Cece's current boyfriend in preschool.
Yes, Marco will be heartbroken.
Well, the joke answer is like, tell them that they're not allowed because that will make them want to date more.
Right. Romeo and Juliet situation.
Yeah, except for none of the like sad stuff at the end.
Right.
Shauna, what I think is I would tell them that they're totally allowed to date whoever they want as long as that person treats them with respect and kindness. And that, of course, I love Elle and Cece. So I'm totally happy for him to be dating them. But also, I might say, like, but you know what? No matter what happens between you guys, that's not going to change my relationship with Steve and Shauna. So if it doesn't work out well, you need to treat. I mean, I don't know in the scenario is Augie dating Elle or Cece. I guess I could go either way.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, I want you to know that we are lifelong friends with the Jaegers. So however it goes, you need to treat her with respect and not leave any like bad feelings hanging out because whether you like it or not, we're going to be friends with the Jaegers.
Right. Like you will be barbecuing with your ex no matter what. Yes, and I like how we like jump to like them dating, but then breaking up and like it's drama. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm imagining like high schoolers and like how many high schoolers, you know what I mean? But
yes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, this reminds me of a text message you sent me a few weeks ago about a conversation that you had with Augie. And here, I'll read the exchange you sent me. Augie says, I like getting married. And you said, oh, yeah, you want to get married someday? Who do you want to marry? And Augie says, Cece.
And by the way, it's so cute. And we like hadn't seen you in ages. And he still said that.
I know. I was like, wow, of all the friends that he sees at preschool every day, like he's still thinking about Cece. I might have cried when I read that because it's just so cute that like she's even on his mind. I loved it.
So cute. And then I actually tried to get a voice memo of it, which we can't play because he uses their real names. But I said, like, I was trying to capture it, right? So you could hear it. I was like, so you said you like getting married? He's like, yeah. I'm like, who do you want to marry? And he said, Cece and Elle.
Oh my gosh. So stinking cute. Well, look, if they got together in the future, any one of them, two of them, three of them, whatever, I would be over the moon, obviously, because your boys are the best. You guys are the best. And we're already one big happy family. So I'm all for it.
You know, my grandparents, like best friends in Toronto, their two sons married a set of sisters.
Really?
Yeah. And like, aww. I think they're in their like 70s and 80s now. Like they've been married this whole time. So it's very interesting.
Yes. That's very cute.
We could be them.
We could.
But for now, I do think that we are done with our check in the inbox. Well, not done because we have more to dive into next week.
Right.
Yes, we got so many amazing questions that we're splitting our check in the inbox into two separate episodes. So stay tuned next week for another set of questions. But for now, I think it's time to move on to our BFPs and BFNs.
All right. We close every week with our big fat positives or big fat negatives. Laura, what do you got for us this week?
I have a big fat positive.
Ooh, okay.
All right. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
My BFP is that I discovered you can just like buy sweet and sour sauce from McDonald's when you go through the drive-thru.
What?
And And I discovered this because Augie is obsessed with sweet and sour sauce, and he's obsessed with chicken nuggets, and it's like one of the few things he will consistently eat, like at any given time.
Okay.
But like, I don't want to have to go through the McDonald's drive-thru and get nuggets every day, right? But as part of my, like, trying to make sure he always has something that he's willing to eat on his plate and trying to, like, totally take all the pressure off of mealtime, I am, like, pretty much offering him dino nuggets at every meal, like, as one of the options.
Okay.
But I discovered he doesn't want to eat them unless he has sweet and sour sauce. And Googled copycat recipes. I like looked to see if you could buy them. People sell this shit on Amazon for like an insane amount of money.
Uh-huh.
Like you can buy 100 packets of sweet and sour sauce from McDonald's for like $90 or something. I don't even understand.
My God. Okay.
I think it must be for people in like other countries.
Antarctica or what?
Well, I think it must not be available in like Europe or something. And so like,
okay.
I don't know. Who knows? There's a market for everything.
Wait, so is sweet and sour sauce at McDonald's just like a dipping sauce option? Like you've got your ketchup, your barbecue sauce, and then sweet and sour? I don't know.
Yeah. Shoshana, are you not as familiar with like the various dips that you can get at McDonald's? Are you not a McDonald's dip connoisseur?
I am not. I am a McDonald's hot fudge sundae with extra fudge, extra nuts connoisseur.
Oh, okay. I see.
But the dip in sauces, I am not.
Yeah. I mean, you got your barbecue, you got your sweet and sour, you've got your ranch. I think they have like a spicy something nowadays. They mix it up sometimes, but sweet and sour is like a staple, like from when I was a kid, right?
All right. I was always a barbecue sauce kid, so maybe that's why it didn't land on my radar.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, anyway, he loves the shit. And like, I was having a problem where like I didn't have enough of it, and he was losing his mind when he didn't have the sweet and sour sauce, and like trying to keep mealtimes as like chill as possible is not that easy when he's like having a meltdown about fucking sweet and sour sauce. And I also knew that like a copycat recipe wouldn't work because he'd be like, it's not in the little tub, you know, where you peel the little foil off the top.
Oh, yeah. He's too savvy for that shit.
Too savvy. But during my Googling, I discovered that like you can just like ask for more at the drive-thru. So I went through the drive-thru actually for breakfast the other day after dropping him off at school because I was like on my way to do something and I needed my food. And then I was like, is it possible to buy some sweet and sour sauce? And then I was like, yeah, how many do you need? I'm like,
100?
I mean, I was like, maybe 10? Like, I didn't know if they were going to be like, no way.
Yeah.
He didn't even charge me for it. Like, I think he was supposed to charge $1 for it or something, but like for extra sauce, but he didn't. And I got like a big bag of sweet and sour sauce to take home. So this is my BFP, because if you have a kid like me who like needs whatever that specific thing is from that specific store, like just ask if you can get extra because it might save your life.
Smart. Smart. That's good.
So that's my very important BFP. But I couldn't tell you how excited I was about that. Like when I found it, I was like texting Corey. I'm like, I got 10 sweet and sour sauces. We're set for over a week.
Oh, my God. It's like so falls in the category of never have I ever parenting edition. Like never have I ever gotten so goddamn excited about some sweet and sour packets from McDonald's. But like as a parent, it totally makes sense.
Totally. Totally.
Amazing.
Okay, Shauna, it sounds like our gardeners might be here, so you might hear a little bit in the background, but I still need to know what your BFP or BFN is for the week.
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
My BFP is, it was so good. It's giving me lifeblood to make it through the next week, month, maybe year, I don't know. But anyway, it was really good.
Okay.
So it was Mother's Day weekend, as you know, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before, but a few years ago, I got an idea from someone in my mom's group about going to a hotel by yourself on Mother's Day weekend, like that Saturday night. So Mother's Day Eve, get a hotel or preferably have your partner, if you have a partner, get you a hotel as a gift, right? And you go and spend the night alone by yourself, sleep in, sleep through the night, don't get bothered by children while your partner or babysitter takes care of the kids, order room service, what have you. And the next morning, wake up, have a nice quiet morning alone, and then go back and celebrate Mother's Day with your children. And this was like a huge revelation to so many people in this mom's group. And it really caught on. And I was like, that's a cool idea. And so a few years ago, Steve did that for me. And then pandemic happened and I haven't been able to do it since. And this year I was like, oh my gosh, for Mother's Day, I just would love to get away for the night and be alone. And no offense, but I want to be alone.
Yeah.
So yeah, Steve booked me a hotel room out in Calabasas. And I went down there and it was a really cute little hotel. I had a lovely pool area, and like the second I got to the hotel and checked in, I like went down to the pool, sat on a lounge chair, and I sat there for probably 3 hours. It was just like wow. The perfect day. Oh, the temperature was excellent. I had my AirPods. I listened to like an entire podcast. I binged this podcast called Twin Flame.
Oh, I listened to Twin Flames.
You did?
Yes. Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah. So interesting. Check it out if you haven't listened to that one before. It's like kind of true crime, but not like the murdery, grisly kind of crime, mm-hmm. just more like con artist kind of crime. So that was really good. I brought a book. I read a book. I ordered sushi to be delivered up to my room. I watched like so many episodes of TV. My only complaint is that the TV in my room, I don't know if you hate this too, Laura, tell me. Like big flat screen TVs nowadays mm-hmm. are programmed with this thing called like motion smoothing.
I knew you what you were going to say before you said it.
Oh my
God. Motion smoothing is awful. Just why is it legal? It should not be legal.
It really shouldn't. It takes things that are like carefully filmed in like film or digital video that are made to look really good and make them so flat and they just look like daytime TV or something. I spent way too long trying to turn off motion smoothing. Couldn't do it. So luckily I brought my laptop. So I watched all my shows on my laptop.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was like really restful. And the thing that really stuck out to me when I returned the next day is that when I was alone for this trip, I did not feel tired once.
Wow.
Like I stayed up till 11:30 at night watching TV, was not tired. Had so much energy. I even went down to the pool at like 9 o'clock at night. I was like, I'm going to go for a night dip. How fun is that?
Wow.
It was a little too cold. It was too cold for me. I couldn't actually do it, but I sat by the pool for another hour just chilling. There was people out. And then as soon as I got home, I was like, God, I'm exhausted again. But no, it was just good and rejuvenating and fun.
Oh, that sounds really, really great, Shauna. I'm jealous, but not too jealous, because I know that we have a little bit of a plan in the works for my birthday coming up. So
yeah,
we're basically going to do this again.
Yes.
But we'll talk more about that when it comes up. But yeah, I mean, it's so funny because like this is a trend, right? Like moms want to be alone on Mother's Day. For my Mother's Day, Corey took both kids down to Long Beach so I could have like a whole day alone in the house, like, or, you know, mm-hmm. half a day alone in the house, which was really nice, but like not long enough.
Right.
But I also like am I feeling a little guilty? Like, does it make me a bad mom for wanting to be away from my kids on Mother's Day? But it's like, all I want is that feeling of like not having another person to take care of right now, you know,
yeah.
like just the freedom of it is, I don't know how, it sounds amazing. I don't know because I've never done it, but maybe mm-hmm. next year for Mother's Day, I'll tell Corey that that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I think you would enjoy it. And I think that is our show, yeah?
Sure is.
Listeners, if you have any other questions for us that you want us to answer in the next round of Check in the Inbox, be sure to reach out. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest community of people on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join because it's a private group. Make sure you answer those 2 membership questions so I know you're not a robot, and then you'll be sent straight through to all the amazing conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.